say why they had less than 10. And again, you can see the reasons that we were given by the different regions. Some of them are doing symptomatic work, and as I said yesterday, you may argue whether or not that is appropriate because symptomatic cases are often different. 35 of them actually joined or left during the year, and I think that's perfectly reasonable. But I know Mike wants to talk a little bit about the 21 in private practice in London, and I think the 23 in Scotland, where we had no information available.
So clearly, for some reason in Scotland, we don't know how many cancer some of our surgeons treat. So I don't know if you've got somebody from Scotland to Elizabeth to comment about
this
that.
This is less than 10. They didn't tell us why.
They didn't tell us why. They were. We know what they were doing. And
the microphone doesn't seem to.
Yeah, that's okay. It's working.
I think we've got a slight problem in Scotland in recording the caseload, and I believe that in England you use surgeons' GMC numbers. We have a different system where there's a sort of two-digit code. So there'll be a code for the centre and a code for the surgeon within that centre. And for example, I'm centre 4, Mike is centre 1, I'm number 26 in centre 4. He could also be 26 in centre 1.
007.
So I know.
I am actually.
But in theory, we could be. Where a patient decides to move centres for their treatment, we cannot keep them with the same surgeon. So we've got quite a few surgeons on this list, and I thank you, Jill, for sending us the list first, so it allowed me to actually find out the surgeons' names. So we've got quite a few surgeons on this list in that situation. And a few years back, we actually had one case in my own unit who decided to go to Edinburgh for treatment, appeared on our figures as a low surgeon caseload, and the surgeon was Udi Chetty. So we have agreed as a surgery group that we will use GMC numbers that will help get rid of this problem. Unfortunately, that requires developer time on our database, which NSD is not prepared to fund.
So at least we have a solution to that problem. Do we have an issue with these people? What do we tell people, Julieta, in relation to how they're best treated? We seem to have guidelines, or we seem to have those other areas. We want to know how many people have been, patients have been operated on by surgeons with experience. And yet in London, we have clearly a group of private surgeons who are looking after screening, who we really don't know what they do. And whether it's a bit like the information you give in the screen clinic, whether we should be giving them some information that we think that they should go to a surgeon of satisfactory volume. Is that policeable? Should we be doing anything about it, and should we ignore it? But it is clearly an issue.
The question.
I'm a consultant from Dartford. Our parent screening unit is Kent and Medway. Not to cast aspersions on the data collection, but the biggest problem I've seen in the 2 years that I've been consultant is data collection. Kent and Medway have a problem with it. We know, and I think we've raised it in our last QA visit, but there was no specific action taken. And I had an email sent to me with an Excel spreadsheet with one screening patient on it as my year's workload, which at the start is not true. So what I want to know is how certain are we that all of this data is 100% accurate?
The point about the audit is that the screening units are responsible for making sure that the data submitted to the audit are accurate, and the surgeons actually sign off the data as being accurate, and that's how we try to make sure that the data are accurate. And the QA reference centres will normally go back to screening units where we haven't had confirmation from either the breast screening director or the surgeon that those data have been checked off. So it really is up to you to make sure that what is on your screening unit computer is accurate. And that has been the basis of the audit ever since we've been doing it in 1996. I think Julieta would.
Okay, so we've made some progress on that already, because we've got
the data are much, very, very good compared to other types of audit.
Sure,
data.
Sure. But the problem is, as I said, when we get the Excel spreadsheet with one patient's name on it, literally the only option left then for me is to trawl through the patient workload and provide
that
data to the
screening
centre.
But your unit should be recording your surgical workload as you go through the year.
We are.
And that unit is sending the data into the QA reference centre, so there should be no discrepancy between what's on your unit database and what you get sent back from the audit, because you are providing the audit that you are data that you are checking.
We do every single one of them. And the problem is with the screening unit as opposed to our unit, because we have no control of the data.
I think what I would suggest is that you need to talk to your QA reference centre and try to find out what to do. He's in the room. He's waving frantically, not drowning.
There has been a problem with the data collection in Medway.
Right.
We've been aware of it. We have highlighted it with the unit, and the unit they have told us that it has been resolved. I will resolve it.
You will resolve it. Okay, we'll move on.
With Resolve Scotland, I think that's worth. I think it's worth looking at that next year.
Okay, so we've solved two things this morning. That's excellent.